Hello, dear student. Welcome to another lecture. I'm Professor Sheikh Rahmatullah. A small brief about me once again, if those would have missed in my first presentation. I'm Professor Sheikh Rahmatullah in this industry for over 45 years and I'm a globetrotter. I have traveled to almost 67 countries. Different tourism projects I have worked on, all the supply chain, that means hotel, airlines, cruise liners. I have worked with many international brands. I've also worked with Royal Caribbean Cruise. I was advisor to the Minister of Tourism in Tajikistan. I have managed IATA travel agencies, and I was Middle East representative and marketing manager for Thailand Tourism Board for over 7 years. I was based in Dubai looking after 12 Middle Eastern market. And with that expertise of mine for over 45 years, I'm returning back to the young generation the knowledge, the expertise, the know-how that I have gained while working for these industries and while traveling abroad. So, my dear student, enjoy my talk because I'm passing on all my experiences in form of knowledge for your growth and your understanding. Today, we begin with the chapter number 6, and it is referring to the type of tourists. We all know that end users in travel and tourism industry are called tourists. Now, there is a slight difference between tourist and traveler, which in course of time, I will keep identifying it to you. So, the chapter number 6 has few learning objectives like every chapter has. And in this chapter, we will understand the linkage between needs and Maslow's theory. There is a scholarly theory shared by Maslow. We will look into that theory. What does that suggest? How does it link to different type of tourists that we are going to talk in today's chapter? We will also understand different type of tourist motivation, because how does a normal passenger, end user, or a customer turns into tourist, and what motivates him or her? Then we will also, as the topic suggests, different type of tourists would be explained to you in this chapter by myself. So please pay attention and enjoy my lecture. So Maslow's theory, as I mentioned, Maslow's hierarchy of needs. Now, this theory identifies the hierarchy of needs. We all have needs. So in this theory, the basic need hierarchy, the following levels: psychological needs, which is in this level of hierarchy, people must be satisfied with their psychological needs. We do have certain needs. So here it is clarified and put under psychological needs. What does this include? The basic survival needs, such as the needs of air. We all need fresh air. We all need oxygen. And quality of air, we always monitor. There are different institutions who keep coming of the quality of air in major cities of the world. Likewise, we do it in India as well. And most probably the weather department releases the quality of air that we live. So that's the basic need that we all need. We cannot survive in a polluted air for a long time and without air, oxygen for a long time. Then water, of course. Water is required for all of us. We all need water and a clean water. A healthy water or a distilled water that can be purified. In certain countries where sweet water is not available, they come up with water desalination, like the Gulf countries. So, of course, air, water, then comes the food. Food we all need to survive. One can be without food for maybe one day or maybe 2 days, but not more than that. So it's a basic need. And then shelter, of course. We also need a shelter to live, to protect ourselves from sharp or harsh weather, like cold, extreme hot, and so on. So putting it down once again, air, water, food, and shelter are our basic needs. People can't become concerned with other higher order needs before they satisfy these needs. So here, the identification that we just now saw, that because if we don't have this basic need with us, the air, water, food, and shelter, you cannot survive. So these are must be a common man, a person who is poor, or a person who is extremely rich, elite, and so on. Everybody needs these four basic things: air, water, food, and shelter. So this is the Maslow's theory we are understanding. And then safety needs. We all need safety. In any form, we need to be safe. Safety needs. This level is the second level. After the basic needs that we saw, air, food, water, and shelter, you need to be in a safe environment. And that refers to the second level of Maslow's hierarchy of needs, which concerns people need to be secure and safe in their environment, wherever we live. Safety in all forms. Safety for your person, safety for your family, safety for your belonging, and so on. It also includes the need for protection from psychological and physical harm. So in the safety, we talk if, for example, are we safe where our own physical existence is safe? So this is the second level. From the basic, we have moved to the second level. Then Maslow's hierarchy of needs goes to belongingness and love needs. Now, what does that mean? This means that the needs include dealing with and acceptance by other people, giving and receiving affection and friendship. We all are requiring some sort of love from others, or people giving and receiving affection. We want people to be associated with us. People would like to be liked. People love each other. And that's the basic level, the third level we are talking. We need to have friends on an international level, countries who live totally different from one another. We still need friendship for a successful flow of an economy. So likewise, on Maslow's theory, people can't reach this level until they satisfy physical and safety needs. So as I have explained that, the third level that we are now talking, love and need. First, you meet your basic, then the second of safe, and the third is safety and protection to yourself. And the third level, then once you are peaceful at your mindset, definitely you look for some friendship, some love, some affection being showered upon you, or you share with others. So this, we are learning the Maslow's theory. Now then comes the esteem needs. The esteem needs refer to, they are classified in subsidy sets. And what are they? First, the desire of achievement. Oh, I should do this. Now I am happy. I have food to eat. I have salary coming in, or money I am earning in form of anything. I'm getting proper shelter, I'm getting proper drinking water, and I'm happy, I'm safe, then I'm liked by people, then you move to, now what I do? I must achieve certain thing in life. I must shine up. I must show my contents in me, I should show my achievement to some others who would give me an appreciation, pat on my back for those achievements. Adequacy, strength, competence, and freedom. So you understand, all these are the achievement that we look forward, which is the subsidy sets classified as esteem needs. Many may not, because for many of us, it is even difficult to meet two ends meet and lead a successful life. Even for many of us, we have seen there is no proper shelter, food, and so on and so forth. We are talking all about the society that we live in. So the second, we have what we may call the desire of reputation or prestige, status, recognition, importance, and dignity. So all these are esteem needs. Yeah, because majority of us, after looking for our basic needs, our secondary need, we look into the esteem needs. And this will be only possible if your basic needs and your second needs are met by you or achieved by you. Then we also have self-actualization needs. People need for self-actualization represent the desire to fulfill their potential. I have so much of qualities and I have the desire to fulfill this. I must get opportunities. I should not be underemployed for employees. For those who have potential of financial strength, would like to be a successful businessman. So all these are the needs that people call it, that I should self-actualize myself and maximize the use of the skill and abilities. So as I mentioned just now, that many a time, many employees feel that they are underemployed. They have more skills and more qualities to make themselves successful, but they're not getting equal opportunities. Maslow proposed that even if all the previous needs that we just now talked is satisfied, we may still often expect that a new discontent and restlessness will soon develop. Yes, so next what? I have a house, I have water, I have food, I'm safe, and so on. So I have so much of qualities in me, I want to achieve them. And then that results into restlessness. And it will soon develop unless the individual is doing what he or she individually is fitted for. Yes? So you find any, pick up any example from any, say, I would give an example from a film industry. There are celebrities who have reached this status, but they have fought for that position. They have showed their skills and they have achieved what they can do. And that is how they have reached to that ultimate position. So we come down to tourism needs and Maslow's theory. After learning in detail about the various needs that human beings have, now we link that to tourism and tourism needs. So what is the level one of the tourism need in the Maslow's theory? The psychological needs. And what is, we understand that every tourism destination must meet into the basic need, psychological needs and safety. Most tourists, when they travel, the prime thing that they look forward to any destination that they are planning to go is that safety, place safe. Will I be safe there? This is the first thing come to anyone's mind. When you take into account that, yes, I would now to go for a destination to develop, to explore, to get rid of my stress, and to see a new destination, the first thing come to mind is, will I be safe? And what safety means? Everything. Safety of person, safety of place you live, safety of your goods, and so on. So psychological, in tourism, psychological needs are connected to gastronomy and accommodation. Yes, gastronomy plays a very important role for many tourists. Look, from Indian perspective, many of us are vegetarians. Some of us are vegetarian in a different format. Some are, for example, this is an example, some of us are Jain, and their food habits are totally different. And likewise, anyone who travels ensures that my type of food is available. And likewise, an accommodation. What are the basic needs in accommodation? Overall, when you analyze it, accommodation, everybody looks forward is a good bed, a good washroom, and connectivity. Yes, those are who are elite, can pay for X money, won't care for this. They may not be looking for connectivity. They have their own vehicles to move around and so on. But a basic traveler would look into these three important things that, okay, my type of food would be available. Can I adjust even whatever is available locally? Can that adjust to my palate, my food habits, and accommodation? So we were looking at the tourism destination, linking it to the psychological need from Maslow's theory. Then in rural tourism, what we refer, the supply side is usually concerned on food and customer adherent to the particular region or village. So I already mentioned that vegetarians, many of us are vegetarians. So in rural tourism, wherever you are going, you would connect all these, especially a person coming in, say, from Kerala, may not find the vegetable or vegetarian foods that are available in Punjab so suiting to him or her. And likewise, someone traveling from Odisha may find it difficult to adjust with the greasy and oily food stuff that is being taken as a healthy food habit in northern part of India where the ghee is used and so on. So all depends. Even vegetarians, vegetarian food in Europe means purely vegetable, either boiled or with something other added it to a basic spices, not the one which we use as sorted food. So all these are linked to the Maslow's theory when travel and tourism activities start happening. People look forward for this. I'm going, this is just an example. Someone picks up a destination, say Vietnam, example. So they would immediately say, oh, will I get vegetarian food there? I'm going to XYZ destination. Will there be a lot of Jain food available? And so on and so forth. These are just examples to understand the scenario that I'm trying to explain under Maslow's theory. So tourism needs and Maslow theory, we move further in understanding that and with a clarity. And this is very important, my dear student, to bear in mind before you put up an itinerary, a destination to your tourists, because different type of tourists, Western tourists, even if he or she is a vegetarian, total vegetarian, vegan, what they call it, they may not accept the spicy veg or salted veg food. Yes, so this also is a matter of concern. So that is why veg food in Asia is known as Asian veg, Far Eastern veg, and European or North American veg. All these food habits differ. They're all vegetarian. Okay, so this is a special attention. I gave it into a detail to understand what do we mean by this. That's why when, just an example, another example, which is a practical example, that when you fly for any destination, you can order food on commercial airline, full service airline, for a specific type of food. and there are a number of different type of food which are available. So there it has to be borne in mind that if, and I'm giving a very concrete example, my dear student, when you say Hindu meal, please note that there can be a possibility of mutton, chicken or fish coming. There will be no beef and no pork, but it may come as mutton and chicken or fish. For that, you need to say vegetarian food, Asian vegetarian food. You can order on a flight, identify, say Asian vegetarian, Oriental vegetarian, European vegetarian. Okay, so these are all different food that one can request for when flying on a commercial airline that has a full service available. So move further. It can be represented by products such as fruit, vegetable, homemade cuisine, local specialities as per the region, herbal tea, or milk, potatoes, organic bioproducts with distinctive traits in country-specific cuisine, habits, and traditions. So that's why I spoke in detail about different type of vegetarian foods. Yes, so has to be borne in mind, and we have to identify vegetarian. And when we say non-veg, which is a common term that we use around within India, maybe on a Western carrier, it may not be well understood, because for them, the term non-veg is purely not very much in use. They identify, is it chicken, is it fish, is it meat or so on, or is it a fish? All that has to be mentioned. Not many airlines, say you are flying from Los Angeles to San Diego and you request vegetarian food. So you need to say which, otherwise you'll get some boiled potatoes, carrot, peanuts, peas in some of these sauces well done to you and served to you. So be very specific about understanding. And I spoke all this in detail so that you understand the need of food gastronomy. Most flights taking off from Mumbai or Delhi or any Indian destination, they are fully aware that veg and non-veg, what are these? So non-veg could be anything, chicken or meat, but they understand, but not necessarily on totally isolated European routes where no linkage with India is concerned. So there you need to be very specific what you want. As I mentioned, many of the passengers have found it so difficult that they said, I wanted a Hindu meal. And what is this? I'm getting chicken also. Yes, because many of us even eat chicken. So just an example. Bear this in mind. Likewise, you can ask for on flight. You can ask for a fruit platter. You can ask for a boiled food if you are having some medical issues, gluten-free, sugar-free. All these type of meals can be requested, and this can be done with most full-service commercial airline. Low-cost carriers may not be, because they don't serve meal. So in that case, you have to pick up from what they have and buy that. Whereas full-service airline, like Air India, like Emirates, and so on, would give you what you request, as I just explained. Quite a great understanding of food requirement. Even hotels, when you travel, when you will grow up in your career, my dear student, you would notice that if you attend a big conference, international conference, or some of the big meeting, the particular thing they ask after confirmation, do you have any specific meal needs? Diabetics, gluten-free, or low carbon, low sodium, all these type of requests are taken from you, because many all around the world have taken for different food habits after understanding the needs of what they need to eat. Coming back again, safety needs, as again in the theory of Maslow, this is a reflection of the location's character, social life, and risk of undesired pathological characters. Now, this also plays a quite important role of the location-wise. For example, many countries, I was once a victim of a political unrest that erupted after an election result, and opposition did not like the result that was declared, and there was a lot of disturbance on the street, and I was doing my sales call in that foreign country, and I was stuck in my hotel room for 3 days. I couldn't go out because there were unrest on the street, there were lathi charge mob and burning and so many things. So when you travel, take an account of all this political unrest. Many countries, they are so careful that they don't touch tourists because they know for sure that tourists has nothing to do with our political unrest that could be with the ruling government or any policies that the government would have adopted. So bear this in mind that you have to look into these elements of location's character, social life, and the risk of undesired pathological characters, because suddenly something would come. In my previous chapters, I have identified that for many characters in respective countries, for them, the soft target is the tourist, because the tourist is unaware of the location, is unaware what could happen, so they target them to create a havoc and unrest. So as a travel agent or as a traveler, bear this mind, and this is linking to the tourism needs. Quite a detailed talk we are doing about understanding tourist needs from the very basic, the secondary, the esteem, and then now in detail about various things. So tourist safety, calm, and peace are the main requirement of tourists in rural areas. Even in the main cities, many main cities have noticed political unrest, disturbance. A lot of unrest was seen, terror attack, and many such things that could happen even in most advanced cities of the world, like what happened in Paris, what happened in New York, what happened in Mumbai during that terror attack. So these are also examples to understand, and we want calm and peace. Tourists has come out of their routine day-to-day stressful life for a relaxation, for recreation, and for leisure. And the least they can think of is any unrest. What they look forward is calm and peace. So this is, again, a requirement for a tourist. Entrepreneurs in urban and rural areas, tourism do not provide just comfortable accommodation or tasteful food. Their business based on the friendly atmosphere, safety, serenity, and family peace. Because if it's a group, there could be family, there could be women, there could be children, there could be senior citizens. All they want is the friendly environment, of course, where tourists, if not personally welcome, at least there is no sign of disrespect towards them. And the travel entrepreneur, what we mean is the travel organizers, the travel agent, the travel supply chain ensures that their tourists, when they come to the destination, they're happy, they are feeling safe, they get the food, tasteful food, which means many restaurants around the world have themed food, and many 4 or 5 star hotels have brought in their chef trained to meet the needs of a specific group of people who could possibly keep coming. Say, for example, if you go down to Dubai, which of course is a stone throw from our country, which means just 2.5-3 hours maximum, 3.5 hours flight, but there many 4-star hotels, 3-star hotels do have Indian cuisine available, including in the breakfast. Yes? So they provide tasty food, friendly environment, safety, serenity, and so on. And they see that once the tourists come in, the safety is provided. I've been to some of the country where tourists, the invited guests for a specific meeting, were so much well protected that their convoy was escorted by police or the security personnel who take the whole convoy, maybe 4 buses, 5 buses, and they go with arrangements. Of course, that refers to not for every single tourist they can do that. But law and order is seriously maintained for more tourists to come in and take a positive note of their visit, whichever country they have been to. So these are all an account of various tourism needs that we are continuously talking. And now we come to the level 3 and the 4th, which is social needs. Okay, social needs, the level 3 and 4. Such kinds of requirements are part of particular group. These are the needs of esteem connected with self-esteem or with the esteem of others. So these are self-interest that you have. Because right now, most tourists, the trend is set up that many tourists, maybe 80 to 90% of the tourists, are of the opinion that we would like to experience. What is being shown to us, we would like to be sometime part of it, be it a local dance or it's a cuisine that is being served to them. If they go down to rural areas, they would join in the home stage in preparing those type of food. So self-esteem, I get pleasure. I'm not just being told in a set-up itinerary and you just go like you are going with a school bus that has to go from here and see this and come back. Personal experience has been playing a lot of role, and many service providers are looking into offering these type of thing. In the case of rural tourism, we pick up another chapter of understanding from urban to rural tourism. Personality, hospitality, uniqueness, and host courtesy are required. The tourist should notice that he or she or the group that has gone there is being welcomed. There are no sort of go away tourist placard or some sort of anger being shown to the tourists. And this has happened in few destinations where mass tourism was continuously on rise, resulting into disturbance for the host communities staying and living there. They noticed that because of the arrival of so much of tourists, we are losing, or we are paying more money for everything. We are losing our privacy because everywhere you find flocking tourists coming in and disturbing our personal life. So in all the cases, we look at the certain social needs. So a lot of tourists, especially families and groups who pick up their specific requirement, they need this type of attention that my social need is, I would like to visit a particular graveyard where my family ancestors were buried. I would like to visit them. Or we would like to see how the Baisakhi festival is being done. Or how, for example, the tomato festival that happened in Spain is happening. How do people enjoy? Or tourists coming into Mumbai and they look at the Dahi Handi activities. Of course, they may not be part of that whole pyramid of people riding on one another, but they would love to witness that. They may like to shoot all of them into the videography. So all these are social needs. And when they put this up, there are tour operators who meet the needs of these type of tourists. So in this case of rural tourism, we picked up that uniqueness and host courtesy are required. Courage and passion, but also responsibility, devotion, and discretion belong to any kind of business. So there, tourists has to be careful as well, because not everyone has the quality of riding or standing on a human pyramid that breaks the Ihandi. It could be a good watch for many of us, but not to be actually participating, because all those Govindas who perform that are trained, and they would have gone for a drill that could have gone 2 weeks, 3 weeks continuously to ensure that there is less or zero casualties.